Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph by the two dads. Vimrata Rishona. Now the Gemara is going to discuss an interesting case. Amar Rav Huna, Kavtza Virata. She jumped and then had a sighting. Kavtza Virata, Kavtza Virata. Three times she jumps and then has a sighting of blood. Kavala Veset. She's established a cycle. Lamai. What type of cycle is this? If he's saying that there's some sort of days interval that this cycle is created for, it's irrespective of the days. There's a physical action that's causing the sighting of the dam. It's nothing to do with the timing. It must be that we're establishing a veset, a cycle, based on jumping. Every time she jumps, we have to assume that she's going to have a sighting of the dam. Vatanyo, can you really say such a thing? Kol shetigvena machmat ones afilu kama pamim lo kaba veset. Anything that is caused because of an exogenous variable, something that wouldn't otherwise be associated with the setting of dam, even if it happens on a recurring basis, that does not establish a cycle. So over here you have something that has no relation or correlation to her setting of dam, jumping, yet it's causing every time she jumps her to see damim. Based on the bread that we just brought, that would suggest that there is no way to establish a veset. Right now I'm reading the Gemara according to Rashi. I'll go back in a second. We'll just see what Tosafot says. So my love, lo kava veset kalau. What's the principle here is that you can't establish any type of veset. Lo. What you can't do is establish a veset for days themselves or kfitzot by themselves. But you could establish a veset for days and the kfitzot. So the Gemara says, first of all, liyamim luchudayu pshita. What's the question over here? Why would you have any havamin over here to establish a cycle based on days? The days aren't relevant over here. So why would you suggest that there should be such a havamina to have a veset of yamim? So Amar Rav Ashi explains the case. Gron, the kafitz b'chabi shabbat. She jumped on Sunday b'chazai and saw it. Kafitz b'chabi shabbat. The next Sunday she jumps and has a sighting. U'b'shabbat kafta. Then the following time she jumps on Shabbat v'lo chazai and does not see it. And then on Sunday she sees it without jumping. So what I've taught here, retroactively we've now established that basically she sees every Sunday. It has nothing to do with the jumping. The jumping on Shabbat is what caused the sighting on Sunday. So then why didn't she jump on Shabbat? Why didn't she have a sighting right away? Because the time where there's a correlation between the date and the jumping had yet to happen. So based on the way we've read it until now, Rashi suggests that the Gemara's question was, let's establish a cycle for just jumping alone. The Gemara says you can't do that because you have a braita that says when you have this type of exogenous variable, we won't allow that to establish a cycle. So then the Gemara says, well, if you can't establish a cycle, what is it then you're trying to do over here? The Gemara says you can't establish a cycle for days alone or jumping alone. What you can establish a cycle for is a combined days and jumping. Meaning that if it includes both time interval or dates and an exogenous variable, that can establish a veset. Where it says, what would have been the havamin over here to establish a cycle based on an interval or based on the date? We don't have anything to do with days or dates. So that's what Rav Ashi comes to explain to us. Yes, this is a case where they jumped every Sunday. And then they jumped on Shabbat instead of Sunday. In the end, we say that she has established a cycle for both the days and the jumping. Combination of the two of them will create a cycle. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot, on the other hand, says there's no way that the Gemara has a Havamina, that there should be a cycle that is established simply by jumping. That he will not accept it as partly to do with the Gemara after the Braita. Now going into his proof, he suggests when the Gemara says, let's establish a cycle for Kvitzot, means Kvitzot and Yamim. And let's establish a cycle for Afle Kvitzot, even for Kvitzot. Then they bring the Braita, which says that you can't have a Veset for something that is exogenous, that's an onus, that you can't have. So the Gemara says, I would have thought that relates to, when you're talking about Yamim alone, or you're talking about kfitzot alone. But kabbalah vesed yamim ulekfitzot, when it comes to days along with kfitzot, that you can't establish a cycle for. So Tosafot just says that the original question of the Gemara is not to establish a cycle for kfitzot alone. Nobody would ever think that. The only thing the Gemara ever suggested was to establish a cycle of kfitzot with yamim. They bring a braita, Vatanya, as opposed to being a question now, Vatanya, the Vatanya becomes a binichuta, comes to be a support of Tosafot's position that if you just have kfitzot alone, that doesn't work. But if you have kfitzot together with yamim, that does work. That's the way Tosafot reads it. And this is the first way the Lishna of the Gemara is. Then I have a Lishna Achrina, second Lishna, Rav Huna, kavtzavrata, kavtzavrata, kavtzavrata. She jumps and sees, jumps and sees, jumps and sees. Then kavala veset, the yamim, velo l'kfitzot. She establishes a cycle for days and not kfitzot. Hey, chidame, what's the case here? How are yamim even relevant to our case of here? Rav Ashi, the kofitz b'cha b'shabat b'chazai. She dumped on Sunday and then has a sighting. B'kavitz b'cha b'shabat, jumps again on Sunday, b'chazai, and sees it. And then she comes to another Sunday, chazai velo kfitza, and she sees it without jumping at all. T'hatam igle milta di yomahu de kol garim. There you see that it is the day that causes it. Now the reason that we eliminated the girsa, you can see the little aleph there in the gra, the reason we eliminated the girsa is because most of the rishonim think that the two lishonot can be reconciled. The only way to have the two lishonot reconciled is to not have that lashon in there. And therefore the two lishonot are talking about two different scenarios. The first lashon is talking about a scenario where she jumps on Sunday, sees. Jumps on Sunday, sees. Jumps on Shabbat, and then sees on Sunday. The second scenario is where she jumps on Sunday and sees, jumps on Sunday and sees, then doesn't jump and sees on Sunday. So the two are reconciled, because in the case where she never jumped on the third situation, they clearly establish that the cycle has to do with the days and nothing to do with the jumping. In the first Lishna, she had jumped on Shabbat. So there is still the correlation between jumping and sighting. It's just that she's now separated the jumping from the sighting. She jumped on Shabbat, and that jumping on Shabbat caused the sighting on Sunday. Even according to the Rambam, who says that the two Lishonot argue, that there's an argument between Lishonot, nevertheless, he also suggests that the case in the second Lishon, as the Gra points out, is this case where she doesn't jump on the third situation. That's why we eliminated the Girsa that makes the two Lishonot read this similar and have them be arguing. Just to note, as Tosafot points out here, we're going to see this in the upcoming Gemara, that we establish that the Locha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when it comes to Chazakot, that you acquire three times. And therefore, in our Gemara, it says that Kavtzavrata, Kavtzavrata, Kavtzavrata three times. Because in order to establish a Veset, you need to have something recur three times, as opposed to what we saw yesterday in Rabbi's opinion, that you only require two times to establish a Chazakot. Over here, it's clear that this Sugyo is a libid the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that does require two sightings. Now the next Mishnah. Afopi shamru dayashata. Even though we said or established this principle of dayashata with a woman who has a fixed veset, according to Rabbi Dosa, to those women that have siluk tamim, tzirchaliot bodeket, you still have to check. Even though she has a fixed cycle, and we say dayashata, she still has to check on a regular basis. Chutz min anida, v'yoshevet adam tovar. Except for a woman who's already a nida, no reason to check when you're a nida, because you're already tmeya. And a yoshevet adam tovar is a woman who gave birth, and after days of tuma, 7 days for a zachar, 14 days for a nekeva, she then has either 66 days of tara for the nekeva, or 33 days for a zachar. But during those days of dam tovar, there's no reason to check either, because even if she sees dam, that dam is tahor. For those two women, there's no necessity to check. Now we have a separate statement. Umishameshet be'edim. She must, when she has or cohabitates with her husband, she must do this with edim, with cloths for checking. So even though she has a fixed veset, and we would not expect her to have any sighting before the time of her onah, nevertheless, when she has intercourse, she must check prior to intercourse and right afterwards. Chutz, the exception to that rule is Meshevet al Dam Tovar. That someone who is, number one, post-birth, where she's having the flows of the Dam Tahara, there's no reason for it to check, because even again, even if she sees Dam, there is no din of Tum'ah. And a B'tulah Shedameh Torim. And a woman who got married, was having intercourse for the first time, for the days afterwards, and we'll see this in the Gemara exactly what the layout of this is, she is assumed to have all sightings afterwards to come from her dam tulim, from the dam of her virginity, and not that these are dam min ha-makor, that these are dam nida. So there again, there's no reason for her to check. Upamim, tzricha liyot bodeket she'acharit uben hashmashot. So there are times where a woman would have to check in the morning, check in the evening, and then check again before she has intercourse. She would end up checking three times during the day. Shachrit Varvit, we already established, was for Taharot, that she checks in the morning to make sure that all Taharot she did the previous night are Teorim. She checks in the evening to make sure that all Taharot she did during that day are Taharot. And then you have a separate requirement for her to check before she has intercourse. Iterot Alein Konot. In addition to these checks that normal women do, if she is a Bat Kohen or a woman who is married to a Kohen, Shashin Ochlot Bitruma. Before they eat Truma, they also have to do a check because Truma cannot be eaten Bitruma. They also have to do an additional check before she consumes Truma. Vidomer, Af Bishat Avartan Melechot Bitruma. Not only before she eats Truma, but even after they conclude eating Truma, they have to do another check to ensure that they are not Tmeyot. So now the Gemara starts. Chutz Min HaNida. One of the exceptions that the Mishnah suggested is that a woman who is a Nida does not need to do checks anymore because it's irrelevant. She's already Tmeyah. Anything she sees then is Tmeyah, and she can't be involved in Tarot. For 7 days, she's Tmeyah no matter what. So no reason to check. The reason is because you don't require any checking during the time of your Nida. Hani chod Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. That works well according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Damar isha kovat la vesed b'toch yimei zivata. Woman can establish a vesed during the yimei ziva. Ben isha kovat la vesed b'toch yimei nidata. She can establish a cycle during her yimei nida. Shapir. That works well. Shlokish suggests that a woman having a sighting can establish a cycle during the Yemei Ziva. Yemei Ziva, again, we've mentioned this before, that a woman, according to Mina Torah, if she has a sighting of Damim, then she becomes what's called Tchilat Nida, Petach Nida. She's then Tmeyah for 7 days. After being Tmeyah for 7 days, on the seventh day, she can go to the Mikveh, and she is Tehura. Even if she saw Damim, up to the last moment. After that, she has Yud Aleph Yom, 11 days, of Yemei Ziva. During the 11 days of Yemei Ziva, she has a sighting on that day. She's what's called Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. Every day she has a sighting, she has to then be Shomeret the rest of that day. B'tahara, make sure to go to the mikveh, and then she is Tahara. That works for 1 day of sighting or 2 days of sighting. She has to require one other day of Tahara. Whereas if she sees a third time, then she becomes a Zavag Dola and requires Shiva Nekiim. What Reish Lakish says is over here is if she has a sighting of Damim during Yemei Ziva, that is considered to be a sighting. And that sighting can establish a cycle. So if she sees three times during her Yemei Ziva, then she establishes a cycle to have a sighting of Damim during her Yemei Ziva. On the other hand, Reish Lakish says, if she has sightings during Yemei Nida, for the time that she's in Nida, it's irrelevant. The only thing that matters is her first sighting. Her first sighting is what will establish for the cycle. If she has sightings subsequent to the first sighting while those 7 days of Tumah are going on, they are irrelevant. For instance, if she had seen on the fifth of the month, two cycles in a row, and then on the third time, she sees on Rosh Chodesh, and sees again on the fifth of the month. She has not established a cycle to have sightings on the fifth of the month, because in that final sighting, she already saw on Rosh Chodesh. Once she's seen on Rosh Chodesh, any damim she sees after that are irrelevant. So according to Reish Lakish, our Mishnah works very well, because there's no reason to check. As a nida, for what reason would you check? Tumah? Doesn't matter, you're ready to Tmeyah. For cycle, for Veset, there is no Veset established why she's in Yida. Misha makes a lot of sense. The problem is for Rabbi Yochanan. Elo Rabbi Yochanan damar isha kovada Veset b'toch yimei nidata. Rabbi Yochanan thinks that a woman can't establish a cycle while she's menstruating. So Tivduk, there is a reason to do Bedika now. Dilma kovada Veset. Over here, there's a strong reason to do a Bedika. Not for Tuma, but for the establishment of a Veset. Like in the case that we said before. The case we said before where she sights on fifth, and the third time she sees on Rosh Chodesh and on the fifth, over there, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you would establish a cycle for sighting on the fifth. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan, why does our Mishnah say don't check? According to Rabbi Yochanan, you should be checking, right? Not for Tumah, but for establishing your Veset. When I say that you have to check because you can establish a vesed, that's talking about a case where it came from a closed flow. But if you're already seeing it from an open flow, lo amri, there we don't see it. So if you read this, the pashtut of what the Gemara means over here, it's the second lashon in Rashi, is that Mayan Patuach Mayan Satum has to do with how the sightings happen. For instance, in our case, she saw on Rosh 5th, then Rosh Chodesh, and then the 5th. What does that mean that she had a sighting both on Rosh Chodesh and the 5th? That can happen, that can manifest itself in one of two ways. She started to see on Rosh Chodesh, and then she continues to have a flow all the way through to the 5th. So does that establish a vesed? She had a sighting on the 5th the first time, 5th the second time, the third time it's Rosh Chodesh, and then she has a continuous flow from Rosh Chodesh through the 5th. Does that establish a vesed? The answer would be no. That's a Mayan Patuach. Mayan Patuach, she started to see on Rosh Chodesh, and she continues to have a flow through the 5th. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan says, in that case, I will not say that you can establish a vesed. When do I say you can establish a vesed? It's Mayan Satum. She saw in Rosh Chodesh, then stopped seeing, meaning there was a cessation in her sighting, and then she sees again on the 5th. Over there, I say you can't establish a vesed. That would be the simplest way to read this, and that's the second lashon that Rashi brings, but Rashi says I favor the first way I explain it, a much more complicated way to explain it, and that is, how do you establish the vesed? So Rashi says, Rashi brings the case that she sees on Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh. The first two sightings were on Rosh Chodesh. Then on the third sighting, she sees on the 25th and Rosh Chodesh. So then the the last sighting, was already in Bidmei Niduta. She saw Rosh Chodesh, then she saw on the 25th, and then on Rosh Chodesh. So she's already in Nida by the time she has the third sighting on Rosh Chodesh. Tafilu ochi, havi kviyut veset v'reish yarcho. Nevertheless, that's considered to be a kviyut veset Rosh Chodesh, because the tchilat veset was chukzak in Mayan Satum. That the original part of the veset was already established from Mayan Satum, and that's why it works. Because the first two times she saw it were from like a standing start. First two times she saw it was on Rosh Chodesh. She saw Rosh Chodesh. And then the third time she sees it, it's then 25th and Rosh Chodesh. So there it works. Because the first two sightings were from what we call a Mayan Satum. What won't work is the opposite way around. What happens if the first two times she sees on the 25th and then on Rosh Chodesh? And then the third time she sees on Rosh Chodesh. So the first two times it was the 25th Rosh Chodesh. And then the third time she sees Rosh Chodesh. That, according to Rashi, is called Mayan Patuach. Because the first two times you want to establish the cycle, she already had started to menstruate. So you're now trying to establish a cycle from something as a Mayan Patuach, from something that preceded the sighting, her Nehudutah preceded the date that you're trying to create as the Veset. So even if it happened on the first time, she saw on the 25th, then Rosh Chodesh, the next two times, the subsequent time, she sees on Rosh Chodesh, that will not establish a cycle. And that's the way that Rashi favors, explaining that the difference between Mayan Patuach and Mayan Satum has to be with the first two sightings, or the first sightings had you established them. For the first two sightings, the original sightings from a standing start, and that means that you did saw nothing, and then you saw it, and that established the day of the Veset, those work. So even when you see on the third time, when she's already in Nida, on the 25th, and then goes into Rosh Chodesh, that'll work. If the first two times were established when she was already at Nida, and she saw on the 25th and Rosh Chodesh, 25th and Rosh Chodesh, and then she sees the third time Rosh Chodesh, that's not a Veset, that's not a cycle, because the first two sightings were not from a standing start. She was already in Nida when she had the sighting on Rosh Chodesh, and you cannot establish a cycle that way. So that's the way Rashi learns. Tosfot has some questions on it, and at the end says that he can reconcile with that explanation in Rashi. So even though it's the more difficult explanation, since Rashi favors it, giving you that explanation, even though the second lashon of Rashi is a much simpler way to read the Gemara. Right now, Vayoshevet al dam tovar, a woman who is now having her sighting of damim after giving birth during the May Tovar. We think now that the Mishnah is suggesting mivakeshet leshev al dam tovar. She wants to get to the point where she can be sitting on dam tovar. Remember, she has dam tmea, and then she switches it to dam tahara. For the first 7 days of zachar, it's dam tmea. After the next 33 days, it's dam tovar.
Same thing with the Nekeva, 14 days of Tumah, then 66 days of Tohar. How do you switch over from Dam Tmeah to Dam Tehorah? How does that transition happen? So the Gemara suggests here that the question in our Mishnah is about that transition. She wants to transition. And the Mishnah says she doesn't have to do a check. She has to do no checking in order to transition. The Gemara says, that's Anichol, the Rav Damar, Mayani Achadu. That there's only one source for the damim. The uterus produces all damim, and HaTorah Tamato, HaTorah Tarato. The Torah established that when the blood flows for the first 7 days, it's Tameh, and that when it flows for the next 33 days, it's Tahor. So that's the easy way to explain this. Then Shapir, our Mishnah makes a lot of sense. She wants to transition from Dam Tameh to Dam Tahor. How does she do that? She has to do absolutely nothing. It happens automatically. Once you grow over that threshold of time, automatically, the damim switch from being dam of dam tamei to dam tohor. El Levi, according to Levi, who says shnei mayanotim, there are two sources for this damim. The source for the damim for the first 7 days is tamei, and the source for the damim afterwards are tohor. But in order for that to happen, you have to switch the mayanot. So there has to be some sort of cessation between the Dam Tamei to the Dam Tahor. You have to have a break if there's some indication that you switched your source. So in order to know that, you would have to check. And that's what the Gemara says, Tibdok. Why does the Mishnah say that a woman who's sitting for Dam Tohar, which indicates that she's trying to get to the point where she can sit in Dam Tohar, that she requires no checking? According to Rav, that makes sense. But according to Levi, you would have to check. So Dilma Kati Lo Posak. Maybe she never stopped seeing how Mayan Tamei from the original Mayan Tamei. And in order for her to switch, we need to know that that closed and the new one opened. Sacha Amar Chalevi, they will say, who's the author of our Mishnah? Hamani, our Mishnah is authored by Beit Shammai. He, Damar Mayan Echadu, Beit Shammai, who says, similar to what Rav says, that there's only one source of the Damim here. And that source produces both the Dam Tamei and the Dam Tahor, and therefore there's no need to check. So he says, Gemara says, Stam Lantanak Beit Shammai. Wait a minute, why would you establish a Mishnah here? It's a Stam Mishnah, like Beit Shammai, which indicates that the Locha is like Beit Shammai. So it doesn't make sense that the Tana would make a Stam Mishnah into Beit Shammai when we know the Locha is not like Beit Shammai. So Gemara says, no, it's Stam, Vachar Kach Machloket Hu. Here it's Satum. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to have the Machloket about Mayan Echad, not Mayan Echad, but Beit Shammai. So Stam, Vachar Kach Machloket does not have the power to stay Stam, Mishnah, Alocha Kamoto. Rather, Stam, Vachar Kach Machloket eliminates the Stam Mishnah as being relevant. So yes, it's like Beit Shammai over here, but the Mishnah later on will upend the fact that it's a Stam Mishnah according to Beit Shammai. Chol Stam, Vachar Kach Machloket, and Alocha Kestam. And the Stam Mishnah has no bearing. Another possibility is Miktani Mevakesh Leishev. Our mission doesn't say that she's trying to transition from Dam Tamei to Dam Tohar. Yoshevet Ktani. She's sitting there. She has her days of Tahara. She already transitioned. And now the mission is saying she doesn't have to check. Yoshevet. If she's sitting on a Dam Tohar, Maila Memra. Of course she doesn't have to check. What would be the purpose of checking while she's having Dam Tohar? There's nothing to talk about. Everything she sees is Tohar. Maybe she should check during your Meitara. She might establish a cycle. She might have a recurring cycle during her Yemeitara. Kamash Malan, the Mayan Tahor, the Mayan Tamei, Lo Kava. That between the days of Tahor to your days of Nida, you can't establish a cycle. Any cycle that is established during the days of Tohar have no relevance to your cycling when you are Nida. And you can't take whatever information or cycle that was established during Dam Tohor over to the cycling of Dam Nida. So Gemara says, Anicha Levi, Damar Shnei Amayo Damheim. That makes sense, according to Levi, who says that there are two sources for the Dam over here. So therefore, you'd have to check, or you'd have a Havamina to check, because you might establish a cycle. But Kamash Malon, that Tamei and Tahor are two separate issues. Why are Tamei and Tahor two separate issues? It's easy, according to Levi. Why are Tamei and Tahor two separate issues? One is comes from this Mayan, one comes from this Mayan. So even if you establish a cycle while you have Dam Tohar, makes no difference because it has nothing to do with the cycling during Dam Nida. Elo L'Rav. According to Rav, Damar Mayan Echadu, Tibdok Tumah Kavala Veset. Why is the Kamash Malon that you can't establish a Veset? You should be able to establish a Veset. If it's one Mayan, one source for Dam Tohar and Dam Nida, if you establish a cycle during Dam Tohar, it should have application during Dam Nida.
How can I differentiate between
all right, very good. So that's the answer. So afilu achi mimei tara lemei tuma lo kava. Exactly what you're saying, David. That between dam tohar to dam tmeah, even though they come from the same source, they're different indications or halachic indications, and therefore, if you establish a cycle during dam tohar, you'll have no bearing on your dam nina. Now, truthfully, all Rav had to do to hear his answer is say that the case in the Mishnah is not talking about a case where she's yoshevet, but mivakeshet yoshevet. It's not a case where she's already in her dam tohar. It's a case where she's trying to transition from tumah to tahara. And that's the way Rav established it before. We established that it worked well according to Rav before. Nevertheless, the Gemara went out of its way to answer according to one reason for both of them. To try to have Rav and Levi explain the Mishnah in the same way and be able to reconcile with it. So that's why they gave an alternative answer for Rav here, so they can reconcile Rav and Levi according to the same explanation in the Mishnah. Now it says, umishameshet be'idim, that she has to have intercourse with cloths and check before and after. It's not hotum. We have a Mishnah. Tinok shlo giazman alir ot viniseit. A young girl whose prepubescent has yet to reach the point where she should be menstruating and gets married. She gets 4 nights where we do not suspect that any damim that she sees is damnida. Until the injury has healed. So we'll see in a second how to qualify that. This has to do with something we spoke about yesterday, which is the tliya. If we have a reason that we can establish why this woman is seeing damim, outside of it being uterine blood, then we're going to establish, or we're going to say that any damim she sees is from that other variable. Over here, this is a girl who had bia for the first time. She has her dam betulim. The dam betulim that she has, or she cites at that time, are they obviously not dam nida. They're not tmeim. So then she has, subsequent to that, she has sightings of damim. So what do we establish? What is odam? Is that dam coming from the injury, quote unquote, of her dam betulim? Or is that coming because she now is having a sighting of dam nida? So Beit Shammai says for the first 4 nights after she has the bia rishona, any sighting of damim that she has, we're going to associate with the dam betulim. After that point in time, she continues to see damim, where she has a setting of blood, we're going to assume that that is dam nida. Beit Hillel says, ashet techiyah makah, until there's a healing of the wound. We'll see in a second how you know when it's healed. But until the wound is healed, all damim that comes out, we're going to establish or suggest comes from the dam betulim, and she's not tmeah. So now we have a qualification. Remember, Gidol Mashmo, lo shanu elishol paska machmat tashmish, viratash lo machmat matiz tashmish. This is true as long as every time she has intercourse, they see damim. So how do I know that the makah is not healed? Because every time she has any type of pressure there, right away she has a sighting of damim. So as long as she continues to see damim every time she has intercourse, then even if she sees damim outside of that time period, she sees it another time, we're going to assume that that dam is dam betulim and not dam nida. Remember, we're talking about a girl here, shlo giazmana. She has yet to reach the point where we would expect her to have regular sightings of damim. And therefore, she sees damim even outside of the mizgeret, the framework of tashmish. Nevertheless, we're going to establish that that damim is dam betulim because I have evidence of the fact that the dam betulim are still problematic here because every time she has intercourse, she sees damim. Then another qualification, aval. Paska machmat tashmish, if she has intercourse and doesn't see damim, verata, and then she sees damim outside of the framework of intercourse, tmeya. Then she's tmeya, because now we can no longer say that it's dam betulim. There's no way to establish this dam. Because she had intercourse, which would have been good evidence of the fact that the makkah was still there, and yet she didn't see any damim. The fact that she didn't see damim during intercourse makes it clear that it's no longer dam betulim that we're seeing when she sees it outside the framework of intercourse. Another qualification. Avar laila achad velo tashmish. If she passes 1 night without having intercourse, virata, and then she has a sighting, tmeya. Then she is tmeya at that point in time, because we assume that she did not have intercourse, therefore the wound is healed, and yet she's still having a sighting of a blood, sighting of blood that's not associated with tashmish. So that gap in time allows us to see the fact that it's healed already. And since she's given time to heal, and then she has a sighting, that already makes her tmeya. And the last qualification is, nishtanu mare damim, shela tmeya. If the type of blood or the color of the blood changes, then she's tmeya.
Because it changed. Why did it change? Because it's a different type of damim. The original blood was blood of betulim. The subsequent blood was the blood of nida. And so they have different colors. So if the color changes, then we know there's an indication that she's no longer saying dam betulim, but rather now she's saying dam nida. Just to quickly just qualify what we're saying, Tosfot points out over here that even if she has intercourse over a period of a year, and every time she has intercourse, she sees damim, we will still be tole that in dam betulim. We'll assume that the makah has not healed, and it will all be classified as dam betulim. As long as every time she has tashmish, she sees damim, no matter how long that duration is, we'll assume then all sightings that she has is dam betulim, again, until she reaches the point where she should be cycling, until she reaches the age where she should be cycling, because then we'd have other issues. But as long as she's not supposed to be having dam, sightings of dam, as long as every time she has tashmish, she has a sighting of blood, then she still has that tliyah in dam betulim. And the other thing is that even if she sees damim outside of the framework of tashmish, as long as it's correlated, juxtaposed to a sighting with tashmish, then that also be tahor. It doesn't have to be in the framework of tashmish. As long as it is connected time-wise to tashmish, that's fine. If she has a gap in time where she didn't have tashmish and then she has a sighting, if she has that type of interval, gap, break, then it is dam tmeah, because we assume that there's no correlation between it. Why is she having a sighting of blood a couple days later, even if when she had tashmish, she saw damim, if a couple days later she's seeing damim, it says that it's not correlated with the dam tulim or the makah anymore. This is a separate sighting of the blood. So now, Meiti Rabbi Yona says, Ubtula Shidameh Torim. Our Mishnah says, Abtula doesn't have to do any checking, because any damim she sees is tor. Amai Tishamesh Beidim. Why shouldn't she have to have intercourse with Edim? The Dilma Nishtanu Mare Damim Shela. Because maybe the color changed. We just established that one of the qualifications that we put on this, that every damim she sees is Dam Betula, is as long as they still look the same. If the blood changes color, then we say that that's no longer Dam Betulim, but rather Dam Nida. So why shouldn't she have to check as a betula? Why should she have to check on a regular basis to see if the blood has changed colors? So Amarobo Amaresha. Wait a minute. Our Mishnah is inconsistent. Our Mishnah gives exceptions twice. In the first case of the Mishnah, it says, Chutz minayda yoshevet adam tovar. That's for the Mishnah that says, Dayashata, a woman who has a fixed veset, that is Dayashata. That is true of all women except, what are the two exceptions to the rule? Two exceptions to the rule, there are Nida, and a woman has given birth, a Yoledet, that has Dam Tovar. Over there, you don't see any exception for Betula. Umar says, wait a minute, what type of answer is this? So, what is this answer? That Ema Reisha, Chutz minayda yoshevet adam tovar, hu delo bayi b'dika, va betula, shetameh torim, bayi b'dika. She does require b'dika. Elikashina adodi. Wait a minute, that's a really cute answer. The Mishnah has two times. If you look in the Mishnah again, the first line of the Mishnah is Dayashata, and then Dayashata, the exceptions to that rule are Nida and Yushevet Adam Tovar. Betula is not mentioned there. But then it says Umishemesh Beidim. These four women, who before we said are Dayashata, or anybody that's Dayashata, she still has to do or have intercourse with Edim. Chutz, min Yushevet Adam Tovar, Ubetula, Shedameh Torim. So over there you have Yushevet Adam Tovar, and now you have Betula. So over there, Betula is the exception to the rule. So now you have an internal stira on the Mishnah. Why is Betula only mentioned in the second case and not in the first case? Doesn't make so much sense, Rav's answer, because Rav's only taking a piece of the Mishnah. Kashna Dodi, Kan, Shishimsha, Deima, Shamash, Achran, Kan, Shalosh, Shimsha. And here's a case where she had intercourse, here's a case where she did not have intercourse. And so the answer is that you have another variable that could change the color of the damim. When it comes to a case where she's having no intercourse, and the color of the blood changes, what's the only reason the blood changed colors? Because it's a different blood. It's not dam tulim anymore, it's dam nida. On the other hand, if the blood color changes in the framework of intercourse, then you could argue, I would have argued that it's the shechvat zera. The shechvat zera dilutes the blood or causes some sort of change in the color, and therefore the change in color might be caused by the bia, not by the fact that you have new damim over here. The way the Gemara terms it is that the shamash, the aver itself, will cause some change in the color. For whatever it puts pressure on it, whatever it does that causes some change in the color of the blood, the act of intercourse will cause differences in color. So I have no proof. Even if she checks
before and after intercourse and sees a change in color, that doesn't mean that it's not dam betulim. It's no proof that it's not dam betulim, because the reason the color changed could have been because of the intercourse itself. And so the change in color is not evidence of dam nida anymore. So she checks and sees a change in color, doesn't mean anything, doesn't have any value. And that's the answer. Our Mishnah that's talking about that a dam betulim doesn't have to check at all, it's talking the case of the context or the misgeret of tashmish. On the other hand, a bright over here, qualified by Gidol Amar Shmuel, that says that if the dam changes color, that's evidence of dam nida. That's talking about outside the framework of intercourse. If you have a change in blood color without intercourse, then that's a clear indication that you switch from dam tulim to dam nida.
Without intercourse, if she didn't have intercourse, she's considered other dam anyway. In the first 4 days of the Shama, what?
No, if she has intercourse and then sees damim the next day, that damim is tahor because it's still correlated, associated with tashmish.
You're saying the color change from the intercourse on Tuesday night to the
to Wednesday day where she has a sighting, yeah.
So how are you saying that the blood changes during tashmish?
The Gemara says because of the shamash, the aver itself. The pressure of the aver, I'm not exactly sure what the cause is. I would have suggested it's a shechvat zera that dilutes it.
Yeah.
But that's not what the Gemara says.
Else.
Because the Lashon HaGemara says, she says the shamash is the aver itself that causes the change in color. Again, I would have suggested it's the shechvat zera, but that's not the way Rashi reads it, and that's not the way that the Pashtut HaGemara says, shamash, akar, that the shamash itself causes the change in color. Tanya Nami Yochi, we have a bright that supports this, not this answer that we just gave, but Tanya Nami Yochi seems to be supporting Rabbi Yom Amar Shmuel before, which is that's as long as she hasn't stopped seeing every time she has intercourse. And then she sees the next day outside of the framework of intercourse. She has intercourse and doesn't see damim. And then she sees damim outside of intercourse. Because then we know that the wound is healed and any sighting she's having is dam nida. If one day passes without any intercourse, then the next day she sees, then she's tmeya. Again, because there's no correlation between the injury, meaning the dam betulim, and the sighting that she has now. Again, also here, if the blood changes color, she's also tmeya, which is what we just discussed before, that there's this difference between them. So our Mishnah, when Rava says that the ratio is indicative of the fact that a betula does need to check, and we have over here where we're suggesting that a part of the Mishnah says the betula does not need to check, and we have this difference in color, those will all be reconciled between the difference of when the color changed. If the color changes in the context of tashmish, it has no bearing, you don't need to check. If the color is changing in the context, outside of the context of tashmish, then it has relevance. Right, so now, continuing here, Pamim Shi Tzricha, there are times where she has to do multiple checks in a day, Shachrit, Arvit, and then before and after she has intercourse. Again, Umishamesha Beidim in our Mishnah that says that she has to check when she has intercourse is referring to a woman who has a veset, woman who has a fixed cycle, as well as these women before, the four women who say Tayashata, they still have to do checking. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu Elele Tarot. That's only for Tarot. Avalabala Mutaret. For her husband, she does not need to do these checks. These checks have nothing to do with her being mutar to her husband. They have to do, all have to do with Tarot. Pshito. Of course, that's the case. Shachrit Tanan. Our Mishnah says, well, one of those checks is in the morning. So if it's check in the morning, then what does that have to do with intercourse? People don't have intercourse during the day. And if that's the case, then what does that have to do with checking in the morning? It's clear that the checks that we're talking about in our Mishnah have to do with Tarot. Eitmar Seifi Eitmar. That's said on the check in the evening. That statement of Rav Yehuda Shmuel is that even the night check is for Tarot and not for her husband. Then we said in the Mishnah Shashi Overet L'Shamesh in Beita, the time that she wants to have intercourse, she has to check. Amar Yehuda Shmuel Oshanu El Bisha Asuka B'Tarot. That this has to do with a woman who is dealing with Tarot. Since she needs a check for Tarot, we're going to also make her check for her Bala. Then she doesn't require Bidika.
But what's the
Bidika? Okay, so there are two Bidikot that we're talking about here. There's a Bidika prior to the Tashmish and a Bidika after the Tashmish. The Bidika after the Tashmish is for Tarot, to see if she had a sighting of Damim through the Tashmish, or the Tashmish released some Damim. So that is a din in Tarot.
Migo that we require to check afterwards, we make a check before. The check before is not for Tarot. The check before is for Baala. So the fact is that the checking beforehand is to establish whether she's Tahor for her husband. The check afterwards is for Tarot. But the two are correlated. It's a Migo. Since she's already checking afterwards, she may as well check before. Why not check 5 minutes earlier just to be sure that there's no problem?
But again, Shmuel just said, and now we're saying, not even do it for them.
Right, but over here, it's because of Tarot, we do it for the husband. It's not solely for the husband. If she's not a sukkah but Tarot, she doesn't do this check at all. If she's not involved in Tarot, she does neither of the two checks. They both fall away. That's what the two are correlated. If she does the check for Tarot, we do the check for Baala. If she had no check for Tarot, she won't do a check for Baala. So that's how Shmuel is consistent. Shmuel says it has nothing to do with Baala. It has all to do with Tarot. Once already you're doing it for Tarot, she also checks for Baala. And this relates to the Gemara before. In the Gemara before, where we said that she doesn't have to check for the change in damim, the change in color, because we assume it's dam betulim. There we say she doesn't have to check before as well. She doesn't have to check after bia. That's where you'll have a shinoi dam. She doesn't have to check before bia as well. Why not? Because the two are correlated. If you don't check afterwards, you don't check before. Because the only reason you check before is because you're checking afterwards. So that's what Shmuel says over here.
You get the both of the other rishonim.
That's right. Rashi says it over here also. He mentions the fact. Rashi's learning over here that the aid before is the Baala, but really for Tarot. Baala Tarot, because she only checks the aid in the morning. It's dark at night. You don't have to go check it. The other reason I believe that when she takes the check beforehand, she has to check the aid before she has Bia in order to know whether she can be with her husband. The Gemara says, "My Kamash Malon, what are you teaching us, Tanina? We already learned that in a Mishnah. Kol Anashim bechazkat Tara lebaleihem. All women, this is a Mishnah coming up, have a chazkat Tara. They don't have to check. The underlying assumption is that they are teorim. Why would you check at all? If I just learned it out of the Mishnah, upcoming Mishnah, I would assume that it's only true the woman has a fixed cycle. Habishash ein la veset bayibedika. Woman doesn't have a fixed cycle. We'll have to check because maybe there is a problem. So now what are you trying to suggest? Our Mishnah here is talking about a case where the woman who doesn't have a cycle, our Mishnah is also Bisha Shiyas LaVeset Askinan. Our Mishnah is talking a case with a fixed Veset. Because it says, Dayashata. Dayashata is only true by a woman who has a fixed cycle. A woman doesn't have a fixed cycle, it's not Dayashata. So Gemara says, Matnit in our Mishnah is Ben Sheish LaVeset, Ben Shein LaVeset. Our Mishnah is talking about either case. Baha'ka Mash Malan. So then what's the finish of the Mishnah that we're talking about a case of Yesh LaVeset? Da'afukish LaVeset, Migo Dubai Bidika LaTar. That even though she has a fixed veset, and you would think she needs no check for her bala at all, nevertheless, we still say that there's a migo that she's checking for tarot, she will also check for her husband. Didn't Shmuel already establish this principle for us? A woman that does not have a fixed cycle cannot have bia until she checks. We said that it has to do with the fact that she is involved with tarot, which says that even a woman with a not fixed cycle does not have to check to have bia. She has to have check in order to do tarot. Only one of the two statements was made, and we inferred one from the other. The Rashbam says that the Rashbam says that the one on Yud Bet is the original source, and what Shmuel said over here is a derivative of that. Tosafot says it's the opposite way around. It says that our statement over here is the original statement, and how do they know that when Shmuel made a statement on Yud Bet, it's talking about tarot from what we said over here? So it's one way or the other. There's only one statement made, and the other one is an inference from that. We'll get back to this later in the Masechta, but you should be aware that this issue of whether a woman she'ein la veset kavua, who does not have a fixed cycle, whether she requires a bedika or not, is a machloket arishonim. From the Gemara over here, it seems pretty straightforward that she does not need a bedika unless she's involved with tarot. But nevertheless, the Rambam paskins that an isha she'yesh la veset doesn't have to do a check, but does not mention the fact that if she doesn't have a fixed cycle, that she's turah from doing that check. On the other hand, the right foot on this spot is mesig on the Rambam and says, I don't understand. Our Gemara says, isha that has a veset she'ena kavua does not require a bedika. And it turns out to be a machok bishonim, and the achronim are trying to deal with exactly how to understand the Rambam's pshat and why there should be such a difference. So Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a brayta that supports this understanding. That's only for Tarot to give to do this checking. Aval Baalah Mutaret. For a Baal, she does not need to check. But man, b'demurim amurim, when's that true? Shenicha b'chezkat tehora. When he left his house, his wife was tahor. So he comes back, he can assume that his wife is tahor. Alay nicha b'chezkat tmei. Ah, if he leaves his house and his wife is tamei, yolam hi b'tumatad shetomar lo tahor ani. Then the chazaka is, she is tmei'a, until she specifically states otherwise. Now this is actually a loch l'maseh, that a woman who goes to the mikveh, a person is not allowed to have intercourse with that woman until she says specifically that she is tehora, because you can't break the chazaka of tuma until she makes that statement that tehora ani. So bayimineh Rabbi Zerum Rabbi Yehuda, isha ma'u shetim tok atzma l'bala. Should a woman check before she has intercourse? Amalei lo tim tok. Don't check. There's no reason to check. So he says, the tibdok umabakach. He says, why not check? What's the downside of checking? He says, imkein libo nokfo parish. The husband will be worried. He'll think the wife's checking because she has some suspicion that she is a nida. That suspicion will already make him worried about having intercourse with her, and he won't have intercourse with her because he's scared of the fact that she's checking. So by me, Rabbi Avraham Ravuna, isha maushu tibdok atzma kashir veset. Should a woman check immediately after Tashmish in the amount of time that would not allow her to have a separate sighting to make him chayav achatat? If you have a bia with a nida b'shogeg, you're chayav achatat. So if she's able to check immediately after she has Tashmish, before she had a chance that there would have been an interval where she could have had a veset and had the sighting after Tashmish, that would be mechayav achatat. Can you ever do such a check? Can you ever check so fast that it would indicate that there was damim during intercourse? Vatanya, we have a braita, ezu shir veset. Mashal, how do you have a veset? What is the time? The shamash veid, saying about the aver and a check. Shomdim b'tzad ha-mashkof. They're right by the entrance of the woman. B'tziat ha-shamash nichnas eid. As soon as he removes the aver from the woman, she puts the cloth into check. That's veset. So no matter what, she's never going to get to the point where she can do a full b'dika without being past the time period that you just suggested. So the guy says, no. So he said, Amro li kinuach velo li b'dika. What we're talking about here is where she's just wiping it on the outside, not where she's doing a full-fledged internal examination. So then the question is, Amalu shetikaneach. So should she do that type of check? Hikadamrei ocha by mine. And some people say that's what he asked him. Isha amau shetibdok atzma kedei l'chayev bala Hashem talui. Should she do a b'dika in order to be mechayev her husband and Hashem talui, because uncertain as to whether he had beer with her when she was a nida? Lo tibdok, don't check. Tibdok mabakach, she should check, and what's the difference? And again, libo nukfo poresh. Again, the husband will feel uneasy about the fact that she's checking, and therefore he won't have bia with her. So the possibility is of the two questions. One question, the possibility is that she's trying to be mechayev and mechatat by having an external examination which can be done immediately afterwards, and we could establish whether she was a nida during the tashmisha mita. And that's the case, it'll be chayav chatat. Should she do such a check? The answer to that is no. The second, or the lishna achrina, is that she should do a check in order to make him chayav and Hashem talui. We have a safek. She'll do an internal examination afterwards. She finds the mean, then it's a safek. If they had bia, whether she was a nida or not, you'll have to bring in Hashem talui. Should she do such a check? The answer again is no, because of the same answer in both times, which is libo nukfo. As the Rabbeinu Chananel says, that he sees his wife checking, he says if she didn't feel something or suspect something, she would never have checked. And the fact that she's checking already means that I'm not getting near her, because she's probably or likely a nida. Okay, we'll stop over here.